Hey there, thanks for listening. I am Wouter Vertogen and this is the Freelancer Talk, a show where freelancers, artists, creators and entrepreneurs share their stories, struggles and best lessons learned while launching and managing their own businesses. You're listening to The Freelancer Talk. The Freelancer Talk is a podcast for all freelancing artists, creators, and entrepreneurs who want to improve their own businesses and learn a little bit more about social media, online marketing, and business strategies. This podcast is part of a bigger platform founded to connect freelancers from all around the world and to educate one another. Make sure you head over to www.thefreelancertalk.com and become part of our international community. Now let's get started with today's episode. Hello, all you freelancers. Welcome back to another episode of the Freelancer Talk podcast. I am your host, Wouter Vertogen, and today I have a very special guest with me. But before I will be introducing him, I would like to remind you guys to follow the Freelancer Talk on Instagram, Pinterest, Facebook, and make sure you rate the podcast and leave a rating because I do want you guys' feedback. So today I have Lars with me here on the podcast. Hi, Lars. How are you doing?
Hey, Wouter. Thanks for inviting me.
Yes, welcome. I really like it that you made the time free to do this and to be on the podcast. And I think, well, to give a little bit of a background of you, why you're on this podcast today is because you created a, let's say, online business, online platform. And I think it's very valuable to all of us freelancers to just kind of like know, like, how do you do that? What do you do it for? What is the role of social media and all of that kind of stuff? So what can you tell me about your business? What is the name? What is it? Tell me.
What is it? So my business is called Artship, and it's basically a booking.com, a thuisbezorgd, something like that. It's called a marketplace.
Yes.
For freelancers and schools, and basically for teachers who set up their own classes. So basically they run their own classes, set them up via us, and we run everything, and they run their own things. If they would basically run their own classes, but with the easiness and effort of actually teaching for a school.
So yeah.
Best of both worlds.
And I am a teacher, part of this platform. I mean, that's why we also know each other much more. I think we knew each other a bit before. And I've been a part of this. And I can say that I really enjoy working with you, for you, kind of like, you know, because of course, like, you kind of do my marketing and a bit the social media aspect of it and all the other, yeah, how do you say, like, invoice stuff. But of course,
fun stuff.
Yeah, all the fun stuff you do. But then I still have, like, my own power over my own courses, and I kind of decide that. So I really enjoy working also for you, and I think you really made a great platform.
Thanks for that.
Yeah, it's really, really, you're welcome.
Really, really great to hear.
So, well, why did you start Artship? What was a little bit the thought behind it? And can you tell me a little bit more?
Basically, I'm a teacher myself. I'm a dance teacher. And at some point, I found that a lot of teachers are not being paid what they should be. Mm-hmm. A lot of, like, underpayment going on, and especially in dance schools. And I also noticed at the same time that there's some schools had problems, like, managing a lot of management layers and stuff like that, which costs a lot of money. And, like, you know, money gets lost there. So I thought it would be time to come up with a concept and a way how to make it possible for basically what we just talked about, for teachers to keep creative power, you know, like, decide what they want to do, when they don't want to do, teach their own classes, and not be reliant on other schools to tell them what to teach and how much they get paid for. Because I think that's, I mean, dance teachers and art teachers in general, I think we have so much to give for the community and for everybody, basically,
yes,
you know this, that we should be paid appropriately too.
I 100% agree with you, and also that's why I really am such a fan of this platform. It's because, well, we'll just talk a little bit about the situation here in the Netherlands, because I do know that the situation for dance teachers in other countries is a little bit different. But I, in my opinion, I think dance teachers in the Netherlands are undervalued and underpaid, especially the second one. And I have struggled with that myself as well in my journey as a teacher, and for sure you have as well. And I think the system that you created with Artship is a much healthier and honest system for dance teachers, and I mean, you actually don't not only have dance teachers anymore, right?
Now we started just now, but to have writing classes as well.
Cool.
And we had some music classes, like one or two, but classes. And we also photography and media actually. So photography, I was saying wrong, but photography.
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 I always put that one wrong as well. Photography.
So we have those now too. So that's really great. So basically, we start with dance because I know dance the best.
Yeah.
But we're trying to help every group. Which offers every art form which offers group courses,
yeah,
because the system is the same,
yeah,
they all work very similar,
exactly, yeah,
so why not.
And so what is the system that you build, basically?
What are we doing? What does it do? How do you do it? Yeah, so basically what we do is we create a system to automate a lot of tasks. So Artship consists out of three parts. One part is the I call the front end, more or less, so everything what people see, which means the marketing, all the things like the marketplace action, like Marktplatz basically, yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
The second part is the back office, which means like all the administration, the invoicing, paying students, paying teachers, sorry,
yeah,
but being paid by students,
yeah,
and invoicing to teachers and all these kind of things, refunds. And the third part is community building, which means we try to actually create a stronger bond between students and teachers instead of students and schools. I mean, also students and schools, but I think there's a lot of worth also for schools if there's a strong connection between the teacher and the student themselves. And we try to foster that, which also in the end helps just the teachers to have more students over a longer time, because the stronger your connection is with your students, the longer they will stay with you, the more they will get from you as a teacher.
Yes.
So we believe in that too. So basically three parts. And basically the first part we do with marketing,
mm-hmm,
with a system, how, an idea. Let's say I call it like that.
Yeah.
The second part is basically all automation and
it just comes and goes and bookings, and it's all automated. And the tech stuff and
try to do as much as possible. So all those busy tasks, or we as artists, we are not trained often to do business tasks. We are trained to
our crafts. Yeah.
Yeah. We do our craft, but we don't know how to set up prices and things like that. So we try to put the knowledge and in making this much, much easier and getting rid of this task as much as we can.
Yeah.
And of course, there's some things which you need to do for now, setting prices and stuff like that. But there are a lot of things you can make this much, much easier for freelancers. And that's what we try to do here. The third part, community building, we basically have like little Facebook groups, which you notice from your film classes, which are very simple for now, but basically just a way how to get connected and stay connected.
It's inside the website, right? It's like a really in-house community that you create with your students.
Exactly,
yes.
Exactly. And for now, it's very basic, but we have a lot of ideas how we can make this much more valuable for everyone. Yeah. But needs to be built, so it will take some time, but we're working on it.
It's really cool. I really, and that's also what I have been really feeling with this Artship thing, is that, you start to kind of create a little bit of your own community with your class.
Yes, exactly.
Because now I am much more in charge over my own class, and I want these people to sign up for my next course, but you also help me with that because you become part of a platform, so they will always be informed, and you do send like emails out, right, when there is like a new course and that. Yeah. So yeah, there is this whole automation system that I don't actually really have to be so busy with, even though I always do a little bit myself because I'm like, I love social media and marketing and stuff. So yeah, maybe let's go a little bit into that first area, a tiny little bit, like the marketing, because of course you created an online platform, and I'm just curious with how much of people do you get from, let's say, advertising online or getting people from Instagram and Facebook to come, or was there in the beginning much more just a network of people who you already knew changing to these classes? How are you building that as well?
I think in the beginning it was basically 90% people I knew.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you gotta start somewhere.
Yeah. Exactly. And by now it shifted to like, I think like 30% I know, and the rest is all people I've never seen in my life before.
Yeah.
Which is also a great thing, of course, which means they came through some kind of advertisement.
Exactly.
Mouth. I think a lot actually is coming through teachers themselves, through their own channels.
Yeah.
And they basically get to know Artship and they get to know the class of the teacher, but then they also look at the other classes at Artship, and then they get to know other teachers, and they find that there's a lot more which they might be interested in. So I have always this example that if you about to share your class on your social media, three people might go to your class and look at it, and two might sign up, but there's one person would just interested in what you're doing, and they actually don't want to sign up because they just like you, and they're like, hey, what's Mother doing? Actually they often look around Artship, and they actually end up in like a pottery class.
Cool.
So we don't have pottery right now, but
let's say hypothetically speaking.
Exactly. It's another class basically. And so basically you're helping another Artship teacher advertise. And at the same moment, the same happens with your class. So the pottery teacher advertises on his or her social media, and people come through him or her to your class. And the fun part is, and that's basically what we try to do with Artship, is we try to create a network of teachers.
Yeah.
So the more teachers are connected and advertise their own class and send them to
Artship, the more their students also become part of the platform.
Exactly. And the more students you as a teacher get yourself from other, you know, we basically create more traffic together than we would by themselves. Because now every teacher, like basically if they have their own classes, they just advertise on their own platforms. They're like, this is my class. And the other person like, this is my class. And it's great. And it's working.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing wrong with that. And it's really great. And please keep on doing that. But I think there's a lot of value in combining forces and being stronger together. And I think that's what we try to do with our marketing. So lots of people coming like that.
Yeah, I think that is really a very valid thing to say, and it's actually what I'm trying to do with the Freelancer Talk, is to create a community of freelancers to support each other and to educate. It's a little bit in a different way, but I'm also trying to create this platform, this community, and it's really like about building this community, because you're stronger when you're together instead of when you're just like by yourself just offering a class, or when you're very dependent on another school in another city that you don't know anything. So
exactly.
I do really like that. So how is it, for example, how do you get studios? Because you're an online company, but actually the classes and stuff are physically done in a building. How do you organize that? Like, what was your thought behind it?
For now, we're actually in a beginning state instead of that, because for now we teach basically in Rotterdam.
Yeah,
we have like one main location.
Yeah,
we have a lot of like locations we can use as well.
Yeah,
we have partnered with basically. But basically, we just call them. We're like, hey, we basically have a teacher, he or she wants to teach somewhere, and we look for studios, and we're like, hey, you have space? And then we try to like arrange a deal with them.
Okay,
and what often happens is if you know there's one teacher who wants to teach one or two classes, that's fine. But once you connect a teacher or multiple teachers with one location, they recognize, okay, there will be more people coming through Artship to book at this location, at our location, and then they start to raise lower prices because they can because there's more bookings in their studio.
So it actually helps also them to get attention from different people who take a class in their studio not related to them, but then they're like, oh, this is a dance studio, do they have other classes here as well? So actually in that sense, you really partner. You are a partner kind of thing.
But basically for now we do there's no huge process in this. Basically us calling them, how can we make this work? Is there space available? And then we book them in.
Just to hook a little bit back on what you were just saying about some people came through, I don't know, to Instagram, some people came through other Artship teachers. I think that's also what I'm starting to see is every time when there is somebody new in my class, I always ask them, hey, how did you find this class? Because I'm curious to know, you know, I think last week there was somebody who was like, Facebook. I was like, okay, cool, yes. So that worked, you know. So you do see that these things, and I've had a lot of people through Instagram and Facebook from your advertisements, and actually also from one from mine, that you do have success in these things. But then I also have a lot of other people who are like, yeah, we were in this Artship class and we saw this one, so we were checking it out, and then they brought in more, and then they brought in more, and then it kind of grows. So it really works in a two-way street, that you have this, your social media is a part of it, of course, but also it's because this is a whole community all functioning together. I think that's, I didn't really look at it like that yet, like this yet. So I think this is a really cool thing to
It's a lot of parts, no? It's not more than you think. It's also like, because every teacher has their reviews, or like as soon as people have reviewed you, actually, that helps a lot. I think a lot of teachers don't ignore, but are not aware of how much it's worth that somebody of some of your students say publicly how great of a class you teach.
Oh yeah, of course, yes.
And it's just like, it might be just one or two people on your profile, but it just gives a lot of trust to people who don't know you as a teacher, that you give a great class, and you know, it just gives a better feeling, more connection, and like more trust in what you're doing.
Which is also what you have that possibility on your website to write a review.
Exactly,
yeah. So that people can go to my page, let's say, on your website, and then there's all these reviews, let's say five stars, four stars, just like how you guys just like how you guys should rate this podcast, because it also helps a lot. But I always do also as well, I kind of like always urge people, or just ask like, hey, share it on your Instagram story, like, you know, like it really helps when other people feel like, okay, there's more people saying that you're great, not just myself. Oh, there's a fly here in the room. Okay. To have that kind of like from other people that support, that legitimizes your class, I think, in a way. And you do that in your website as well. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
So let me talk a little bit about the website.
Let's do it.
Because you created the website from scratch, I think, right? So we're not going into coding and software creating too much, because I think that's a little bit too technical. And nowadays people can just quickly also create a website with like WordPress and stuff like that. But I did want to really talk about like, how did you find the aesthetic? Because you really chose for a certain way, logo, background, color. How do you find that?
We actually found it through an agency.
Oh my God.
to be completely honest. But I've had an idea before, and then also like the way how the name came up, because it was a long, long way, and I had my ideas about it, and the agency basically threw out everything.
That happens.
It happens. But basically how the aesthetic in the end, what they thought of is that Archib is like a grid for, or like a frame for teachers to show their work and be themselves and do what they want to do, and the grid is there to support the community and the teachers.
Yeah.
So that's what they thought. Basically, when you go into the website, you see a lot of dots.
Yes.
A lot of dots.
Yeah.
And basically, that's the grid. So that's the grid. And then Archib, it's just a basic font.
Yeah.
With like a point is one of the dots.
Yeah.
And the Archib name fits in there, so that the dot of the eye fits into the grid.
Yeah.
So that was the whole thing. And then, of course, there come like details about like how you show pictures and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But that was the idea of like that Archib supports teachers and freelancers in their work. And we're in the background, and the teachers can shine. So I think there's a lot of like thought behind it. And that's what I kind of like also about design work often.
Yes.
Is when there's a lot of thought of what does the product or the brand, especially if you're a freelancer, what do you stand for? What is important for you? But also, what do you want to give your customers? You know, if you're a business to, or I don't have any have an example at hand, but
it's fine. But
yeah,
I think, well, what you say is what I have been also saying a little bit on podcasts before, is that, you know, like first of all, as freelancer, you are basically your own business, meaning you're also your own brand. And when you go out and you create a website, or you create Instagram strategies, or you do all of that kind of stuff, you have to be aware, like, what do you stand for? What do you want to be shown? And all these like layers behind, how can you show these things, or do you not want to show some? It's all about like creating a virtual presence in a way. That relates to your brand and to your values and to your thoughts behind.
Yeah, exactly. And I think especially when you like start to create your own brand or your logo, like often businesses start with their logo.
With their logo,
Their logo.
Yeah.
When you think about it, there's a lot of like, I put so much work into finding the name of Archib. Not as a good thing. If you have your name after 2 hours, I'm very happy for you. Please, great for you. But I think I believe in that brands, and the design of it is in the end much stronger if you have a good foundation of why you're doing this.
Yeah.
I'm sure you heard about these questions like first talk about the why you're doing it, and then how and then what. But basically, if I think if you have at least the why or what you want to stand for clear for yourself, then you can build colors off that. You know, there are a lot of like, you know, this, there are a lot of
ideas, color scheme, emotions.
Exactly,
and,
exactly. Yeah. So, and it doesn't have to be true, you know, because like obviously these colors are connected to your cultural background, where you are, where you do your business, but it also just depends on what you want. You know, if a color scheme say that red is good for making people active, perhaps that's great, but perhaps you have a use case where it actually is really like
it doesn't work for your
it doesn't work or, don't do it, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
So you have to look into it, of course, but I think those brands can be so strong because you don't have to say so much in words, because you can show it by just a logo, even if it's just
easy. With Nike or you know, like you just see the logo and it just okay, that's it, you know?
There's a lot of movement, yeah.
Yeah, that's the power of like really creating a good logo, of course, and aesthetic and and all this kind of things, you know? So, well, back a little bit to Artship. So are you running Artship alone, or do you have somebody that does like your social media or your back office stuff, or like, tell me, like it grew out, I guess, or...
It grew, but it's still, basically it's me.
Yeah.
It's still me. I have a senior advisor, which I'm really, really thankful for. He helps me with a lot of strategic decisions, stuff like that. I have a board von Kommissarissen, I think, Rat von Kommissarissen.
Okay,
I'm not sure what it is. Board of, not directors, but like board of advisors.
Something like that.
Which I'm also super happy with, which basically think along about like strategic discussions and thoughts. And then... Sometimes I have like a marketing stagiaire, intern, and I have someone who helps me with a basically outsourced.
Like for, an outsourcing
For content creation, basically.
Cool. Yeah. And
and of course the teachers.
Yes, of course we're all part of it as well. What you said, like right now it's just only in Rotterdam. I think your business idea is very scalable, so you can really just like implement it actually everywhere, and it will probably grow, which is I think also one of the best things if you start a business, to think of like if this is scalable or not, you know, like can you grow this out to even bigger or national or international. What do you see for the future of Artship?
Oh, what do I see? What I hope. It's exactly how you say. Like, basically, we thought about making Artship, we built Artship in a way that we can scale it.
Yeah.
Because I think there's a lot of, like, worth for, value for, especially freelancers, to have a bigger platform, like what we just talked about. It also just reduces costs. Because, you know, servers are, like, very cheap.
Yeah.
So... It doesn't matter if you build a small company for like Rotterdam or you build a little tiny bit bigger company and it actually runs in four countries. Yeah. It's totally possible now. So we try to set up the website so it's multilingual.
Yeah.
And that you can actually scale it. So basically we switch a few buttons and we add four servers and then you can run it with like five times more people. It's basically the same system as Instagram and Pinterest use in the background.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's very clever to at least think about it. Doesn't mean it's not always good to make your business scalable.
Yeah.
Especially if you have, I think, consultancy work and things like that.
Yes, I think it of course, it depends a little bit like what type.
Yes. But if you can, often I think you would use your costs if you can. But, if you're a personal trainer or something like that, it's not really artist, but like some kind of personal... you can even personal coach, I'm sure, if you have like methods for it, which you abstract. I'm sure you can make a plan out of it and scale it on a much bigger audience than you could in your own city.
I think, if you talk a little bit about that, you know, like if you're like a coach, you know, like you can have the one-on-ones, but you can also just go and give huge lectures and stuff like that. So you can, it's also still in a way scalable that you can enter different types of ways. Of do that. So I mean, but that's the whole point of, and that's the whole, I think, the advantage of having a online platform, company, business, and so on, is that it's so easy to bring it somewhere else, plus that it's also, you know, cutting back on costs a lot, because you don't have to deal with a lot of other, like a building or whatever, you know, you don't have to deal with that. What was in creating this art chip and this online platform and visual, like creating a vision for this, what was your biggest struggle along the way where you were like, ugh, how do I do that? Or
oh, there's so many. The biggest
regarding creating, let's say, the business model.
Yeah. I think validation. Validation basically, in a business sense, means that you're sure that this product is actually needed.
Oh, yeah.
So if you go into like startup, lean startup methodology, basically it's a way how to create business plans, a newer way. If you haven't looked it up and you're about to set up your business, look it up. It's really valuable. Basically, what you have is a one page where you fill in a lot of small details, which set up the basic structure of your business. And the important part is to look at all those different parts and talk with customers and make sure that it actually works like this. So if you have a plan, that your plan actually, because you have a lot of assumptions in your plan.
Yeah.
You assume that it's going to happen like this. You assume you have people will pay €5 for this and this.
Yeah.
You assume that you will find so and so many customers, but you actually don't know. Or you assume that the problem, I think it's often the actual problem. You assume that people have this and this need, this and this problem, which you need to solve, which you want to solve. And I think I think it's often with businesses, but with Archip too, it's like it's quite difficult to make sure that the problem that you want to solve is actually existing with the group you think they have that they have it, and in the way that you think.
Yeah.
Because if one of those parameters is off, it will not work.
Exactly. You gotta find the right formula for it to work.
Exactly. Say. And all those formulas have a Y and a B and a C and a D and E, and all of them have to be correct to make it work.
Yeah.
And you know, it never will. I'm sure it happened, but like in most cases, I'm sure you have to tweak it. It never is done the first time. So that's kind of an ongoing process. And I think in creating a business plan for Archip, I had really fast quite a good grasp of what's needed, because I'm a dance teacher myself. I'm a dancer myself. I knew, and I talked with a lot of people before. But then to apply this to other teachers, to other schools, which have slightly different angles of problems.
Yeah.
Or don't even see their problems. Sometimes also like,
That's most of it all the case, I think, that people are just like bluntly not aware. But
So that's super, that is still like, we're still working on that.
Yeah.
But I think for business, that's like, in my path, that's the biggest struggle.
I mean,
which is also fun, don't get me wrong.
Which is the biggest struggle, but actually also kind of like the biggest advice you can give. It's like, it's, you know, like when you start something, it's a trial and an error thing. Yeah. And it's what you said, like, I talk to my customers, like I talk to the people, which very often people have a business idea and they set it up and they assume it's going to happen.
Don't.
But you always have
please
to.
Please don't.
You know, also the power of having social media and stuff is that you can talk to everybody and you need to have these conversations for you to do better and to not
and to actually know what's
fall
going
apart.
On.
Yeah.
You know? Because it's actually what you said, like people often, we think we know stuff, because I mean, in general life, we always think that we know somebody else things.
Yeah.
But in the end, I can never know what you're thinking right now, and you can never know what I'm thinking right now. And there's not only one, but there's 1,000 people out there and 1,000 customers you might want to reach. And actually I went to like I did a startup course, which was like a few weeks. And what they asked us to do is to actually call people or even set up meetings. So not only like in social media or like surveys of these kind of things, but surveys can often be, if you ask a question a specific way, you will get a specific answer.
Mm-hmm.
And there is actually a really good book, but I forgot to name now, something about Mama, will you buy my product or something like that?
If you find the book like later, like I will put it down in the show notes that people can actually read the book if you want to learn something about your startup.
You really have to read this book, because basically about how would you talk to your mom about your product Because you know moms, how they are. Yeah. If you talk about your mom, about your new product, your new class, they can be like, oh, that's so amazing.
Yeah.
You're going to have so much success with it. Yeah. But they're not very critical about it. So no. It doesn't actually help you at all.
Yeah.
And everybody is your mom. Everybody who knows you is your mom. Uh-huh. They don't want you to fail. They will tell you all, not because they want to lie to you, but just because they want to help you. They want to be positive to you. They want to support you, you know? So they think along, but they're not very critical and they don't know the people, the customers.
Yes,
itself.
Exactly.
And this book really talks about how can you talk to a people you know, but also to other people about your product with them being aware that it's about your product.
Yeah.
So they give you actual actionable advice.
Yes. Oh, cool. I want to read that book. You have to send it to me.
It's a very short book. It's really good to read.
Great.
And it just gives you a lot of tips how to talk with other people to get this information to adjust your product.
Yeah.
And basically give you like a plan of action for that. So that's really valuable if you can take it.
Cool. Yeah. Let me know. Like, I will also let you guys know what the book is. And, well, kind of like to give, again, that last big advice / struggle, what you said is that, you know, like it's like this trial and error thing. And you just have to ask people. I think that's for everybody of us freelancers. If you start a business, if you want to do a startup or whatever, never assume. But always communicate. I guess maybe that's a good one.
Yeah,
that was a clever one. Do you have anything to add? Anything to say? For sure, I will list like the Instagram down below, so you can guys find us on Instagram, and also you can check out the website. It's a really great website. It works really well. And if you're in Rotterdam, come join our classes.
Please do.
Do you have anything to say?
Thank you for having me.
Oh, well,
it was a pleasure.
Thank you for being here and making the time. And I think it's very, I really enjoyed our talk. And of course, for everybody out there, don't forget to like the podcast. Leave a rating, leave a review, that kind of whole thing. Make sure you follow us on Instagram, Facebook. We actually have a fun Facebook group where I also share a lot of different types of content, which I'm sure you wanna read that, you wanna check it out. So the Freelancer Talk Facebook group on Facebook, make sure you check that one out. I will be back with you guys next week for a new podcast episode. And thank you again, Lars, for being here. And I'll talk to you guys later. Ciao.